We're going to take as our sermon today the text for the year. And my text for the year is this. I'm going to tell it to you now. It's in your vine, so you should have read it by now. If you haven't got your vine, make sure you collect it. But this is what it says. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. And it comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15.
As always said, the reading can be found on 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 to 19. And that can be found on 1195. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I'm suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruin those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be shamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Amen.
Thank you. A young man was once asked by his father if he really was a Christian. I am, he replied, but I've not been working at it much lately. I wonder what you would reply if you were asked a similar question. You remember, if you know anything about 2 Timothy, that Paul is languishing in prison in Rome, and that he knows that the end of his life is about to happen, and he's just waiting for that knock on the door that will tell him that the executioner is just down the corridor waiting to execute him. And so he writes to his young friend Timothy, saying this: as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. Now, we don't know whether Paul actually led Timothy to Christ, but what we do know for certain is that Paul mentored Timothy. He trained him, he taught him, he got alongside Timothy and encouraged him all the time. And as you know, Paul introduced him to the church at Ephesus, and at Ephesus he became the church pastor there. And Paul had a great concern for Timothy because he was still young. He was quite a timid young man. He was frequently ill. And he was often tempted to give up under the pressure of leadership. And Paul knew that above everything else, there needed to be one thing that would stand him firm so that he could face all sorts of pressures in his life. He could face hardship. He could face times when his faith was tested. He would endure hardship if he faithfully stuck to proclaiming, learning, and grounding his life in God's word. If he knew God's word, if he understood God's word, if he explained God's word. God's word, of course, is the Bible. And so Paul said to young Timothy, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Now, I think there are three lessons that we can learn from Paul's charge to Timothy, because they're exactly the same charge that he would leave with every one of us today. And the first is this. Paul says, work hard to gain God's approval. Paul said to Timothy, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Now, there are all kinds of ways in which every one of us are called to work hard. And some are called to work hard in particular areas. So, for example, I noticed that young Gary up the back there is training hard. That's why he's... Show us your jumper. That's why he looks a bit like a... I don't know, what does he look like? He's running home from church this afternoon. Why? Because he's got a marathon coming up. Is it half marathon first and then a full marathon?
Yeah.
The only way you're going to do that is if you put hard work, effort, and solid training into it. Many years ago, when I was in business, I worked with a lad called John Parler for about 10 years. John Parler was the brother of Ray Parler. And you might, if you're an Arsenal supporter, know that Ray Parler was an Arsenal supporter, and he was one of England's best players. Ray Parler and his brother John were both really, really good footballers, but there was a huge difference between the two of them. Ray Parler had made up his mind that he was going to take the natural talent that he had, which actually was not as good, everybody tells me, as his brother John's. But he was prepared to put in the effort, the training, to take the natural talent and to hone it into world-class skill so that he would impress his manager, and eventually would impress the England manager as well, so that Ray Parler was a regular member of the Arsenal team, and he met and played at the very highest level of football. Because he knew that it's the way in which we approach the training, the preparation, and the studying of the game that would make the difference. And John Parler worked with me in the accounts department for 10 years. In fact, it was there right till I left, when he had, if anything, more talent than his brother. And the same sort of attitude was what Paul was expecting of Timothy and what God expects of you and me as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. People who are not casual Christians, but those who are prepared to work hard at being a Christian. But the context of Paul's challenge to Timothy was more specific than working hard as a Christian in general. Paul knew that the foundation stone upon which you build a Christian life that will stand the test of time, the test of pressure, the test of failure, the test of attack, is to be grounded solidly in God's word. Paul was challenging his hearers, therefore, to study God's word in such a way that it met with God's approval. In other words, to be diligent in study, making it a priority, seeking every opportunity to improve your knowledge of God's word, seeking out appropriate aids to understanding God's word, and as one commentator put it, not being afraid to have their work examined by others who God is using. You see, an approved Christian is one who's actually tried and tested, or been tried and tested, in their understanding of God's word, and they've been found to be acceptable to God. Now, let's be honest. There's a lot in God's word that is difficult to understand. It isn't always easy. There are some times when I sit down and I'm preparing a sermon, I think, what on earth does that mean? Where is this writer coming from? And I have to sort of grapple and get underneath it, study, look at what other people have said, and try and get to a real understanding of what God wants me to know. And what we are called upon to do as Christians is to make every effort to understand God's word. We will never have all the answers. God's approval doesn't mean that we have all the answers or that we will necessarily get them. But what it means is that we're prepared to make every effort to find those answers. We work hard when we are prepared to read God's word, to study it, to look into it, to grapple with it, and then to apply it to our daily living. And that's what Timothy was being challenged to do. He was being challenged to be more diligent, more systematic, more thorough in his approach to studying God's work, so that he would one day meet God and God would say to him, well done. You did your best. You worked hard. And I approve of the way you went about it. And the question we have to ask ourselves is this: are we ready to rise to that challenge as well? For example, if you're not in a Bible study group, why aren't you in one? Why are you not saying God's word is so important that I need to be in a position whereby I can study it? I can get help to understand what it says so that it can become a part of my daily living. Paul said, work hard to gain God's approval. Secondly, work hard not to be ashamed. Do you remember the parable that Jesus told about the master who gave his servants different sums of money while he went away on a journey? He charged them to work hard to make this money work for itself and earn something. And two of them made their money work for them. And when the master returned, they stood proudly before him and they presented him with his original sum plus the profit that they had made. And they showed that their efforts and their hard work had actually gained something and made a profit. But the third one, however, stood before his master ashamed to admit that he had failed to use that money, but he'd rather just dug it in the ground and left it there. He hadn't invested that money. It was still in his possession, but he'd made no effort to make it grow. He stood before his master as one condemned and one totally ashamed. And Paul said to Timothy, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed. You see, it's not enough to study God's word and to know God's word. It has to become part of the fabric of your lives. When Paul was writing to the Romans, he said this: for merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in his sight. The Bible makes it clear that one day every one of us has to stand before God and give an account of the way we've responded to his word. And the knowledge of that fact ought to inspire every one of us, or spur every one of us on, to convert the theory of God's word into daily practice in our lives. To know how we should behave, how we should think, how we should sort of do things in life, because we've studied God's word, is one thing. But failure to put into practice, either through negligence or through laziness or through intent, is simply one way of making us ashamed when we stand before God. It would never affect your status as a Christian if you fail to put God's word into practice through studying it and making an effort and working hard. It will never affect your status at all because God never breaks a promise. If, as John tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, that is a promise which God will never, ever break. He's given us eternal life if our trust is in him, and eternal life means exactly that. It's eternal. If it's taken away, it's not eternal life. Brexit means Brexit, said a famous woman. Now, life eternal means new life eternally. But failure to pry to apply what we know to be right, what we know to be God's will affect our relationship with God. It will affect the quality of our ongoing daily relationship with him. And sometimes that will be to our shame. Paul warned the Corinthians that it's possible to build an inadequate building upon the foundation that's laid in our lives. This is what he said. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is. Because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. In other words, what he's saying is this. It's possible to be a Christian and yet to build a quality of life that really achieves very little. And so that if it were exposed to fire, it would be burned up. The foundation, if you like, the fabric of the building, the structure of the building would be there. But the quality of the building will have disappeared because there was none. God's word was not applied to daily living. How sad that so many Christians then don't receive the full benefits of their status in Jesus Christ because they build with straw and with wood when they could have been building with precious stones. Gold and silver, making a real quality of their Christian life. One commentator said this, because God will examine what kind of work we have been for him, workers we have been for him, we should build our lives on his word and build his word into our life. It alone tells us how to live for him and serve him. Believers who ignore the Bible will certainly be ashamed at the judgment. Consistent and diligent study of God's word is vital. Otherwise, we will be lulled into neglecting God and our true purpose for living. Don't be amongst those who, when they stand before God, are ashamed. Thirdly and finally, work hard to be accurate. You see, Paul left one final challenge with young Timothy regarding God's word. And remember, he's a pastor, and daily or weekly, he's going to be standing in front of his people, preaching to them, teaching them, doing Bible studies, etc. And so he says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth. See, Paul was passionate that we should work to understand God's word correctly and then to pass it on accurately. You know, it's possible that when we encounter things in the Bible that we wish weren't there or that offend us, to twist the truth and to make it more palatable. Janet and I were talking with some friends the other day, and we came across a biblical idea that comes straight out of Paul's teaching. And our friend, who's been a Christian for many years, found that particular type of teaching unpalatable and refused to accept it. She wouldn't accept that this is what the Bible said because she didn't think that's what the Bible ought to have said. And it's possible to take things like that and think that we know better than God. It's possible to take things out of context and make them mean something other than what God intended. It's possible to impose our own beliefs upon the Bible rather than allow the Bible to frame and formulate our own beliefs. Jesus vehemently criticized, if you remember, the Pharisees for imposed their own ideas on ordinary people as if they were teaching them from God's word. And this is what Jesus said. He said, their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. And it's possible, as Ken Higgins says, to end up failing or falling prey to false teaching that sounds like truth. And that is why Paul charged young Timothy earlier in this chapter, in this book, to guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. So let me leave you with a few guidelines to help you as you study God's word, so that you can be approved of God, you won't be ashamed, and that you'll handle it correctly. And the first thing is this: always, when you're approaching God's word to look at it and to study it, start with prayer that the Holy Spirit will lead you into truth. For just as Jesus said, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. The Holy Spirit is our best interpreter of God's word. And that's where every one of us starts. When we come to God's word, we say, Holy Spirit, help me to understand what your word is saying. Secondly, adopt the right attitude to God's word. Be among those who study it and delight in it and who value it and treasure God's word. Do you remember what the psalmist said? They delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on the law day and night. They are those who really have the right attitude to God's word. It's precious. It's a treasure. It's like holding something that is of immense value in your hand, and you're not going to let it go. You're going to keep onto it, and you're going to look at it and study it. And so thirdly, don't be casual in your approach to God's word. But seek to remember the words of Jeremiah, who said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. In other words, have a real desire, because you treasure God's word, to get into it, and you're not casual at all. It's not just something you read and put down and get on with doing the washing up or whatever you're doing. It's something you actually value, and therefore your approach is to search and search to say, what does this mean for me? And so that leads me to the next thing. Always seek to understand the Bible in context. What I mean by that is this. Ask yourself, what did it mean for the person who was writing it then? And that's why it's always good to read the Bible with help from a commentary or something else like that. What did it mean then? Because only when you know what it meant then can you apply it in the context of today. And the way to do that is to use aids, but also to look for other scriptures that talk about the same kind of thing. And you then say, how does this apply for me now? Fifthly, be humble. God's word is perfect, but be honest, you're not, nor am I. So listen to what godly men and women, who are wiser than we are,
what they have said, and be prepared to admit that sometimes your interpretation and my interpretation might be a bit faulty. Always seek to get to what the Bible is really saying. And finally, be careful not to treat tradition as if it were biblical truth. You see, there's a difference. Tradition is man-made rules, such as what the Pharisees had. But the Bible is God's word. It's what God has to say. And so that's why we had that song. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119. Because we have to let God's word tell us how to behave. Not what we think Christians have been saying for years and years and years. That may be simply tradition, but it's not in God's word. It was interesting that at Christmas, when we were talking with the children who came into church to do Christmas experience, we had a little game where we said, what's the truth about the Christmas story? Our tradition tells us, don't we, that there were three wise men, that they were kings, that Mary rode on a donkey, all sorts of things like that. The Bible doesn't say half of that. What's tradition? And what is biblical truth? Because biblical truth is what needs to be the fabric of our lives, which is going to prepare us to serve God and do his will. I haven't got this verse in the Bible, on the screen here, but let me finish with one text. Do you want God's approval? Do you want not to be ashamed about how you've handled God's word? Do you want to handle it properly so you know it accurately? Right into the Colossians, Paul said this, that's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. It's me and God working together so that we become strong, powerful witnesses for the Lord Jesus. People who are not ashamed, but who he approves because we correctly handle God's word. Amen.